If you want it straight. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you may be. In talking to you tonight, we shall try to do two things which are by no means easy. The first is to set before you in chronological order the history of the communist conspiracy from 1776 to the present time. And the second is to condense those 2 centuries of history into 3 hours of narration. We ask for your sympathy, therefore, with regard to our shortcomings and your patience with regard to the time. We shall do our best to keep you interested. And we take it for granted that nobody came here to be entertained, but for much more serious reasons. For the story we shall unfold is of immense importance, not just of abstract importance to the American people as a whole, but of direct, immediate, and vital concern to each of you as an individual. What is very definitely involved in this picture is the freedom and the lives of yourselves and your families, not in some distant decades, but in the very near and quite foreseeable future. Above all, this is a true story in every particular. In such a tenuous outline of so vast a subject, we cannot spare the time for documentation. We cannot even go into an explanation of the background, which would be helpful with regard to many statements that may startle or disturb you. In fact, we shall tear many such statements boldly from earlier materials already published by ourselves without pausing to give you the surrounding context, nor even to name the source. As we keep on moving down the years, however, and you find these items from the past meshing so neatly into a total design with the present pattern which you already recognize, most of your doubts about the earlier history will probably disappear. But the main point we wish to make here is that many dedicated men have spent years in uncovering, verifying, and fitting together the pieces that form the astounding mosaic which we shall now be putting before you. And for those who wish either to prove things out for themselves or to read and study a great deal further in order to acquire a much deeper understanding of the conspiracy, a reading list of books and pamphlets has been prepared specifically to go with this presentation. And any member of our staff can give you a copy or tell you where one may be obtained. 11 years ago, we prepared a speech entitled, Look at the Score. After being delivered dozens of times, it was used as the opening part of our presentation in the 2-day meeting at which the John Birch Society was founded. Hence, it was then incorporated into the Blue Book of the Society, which was simply a transcript of that presentation. In that speech, we started our survey of the conspiracy at the point where the physical confrontation of the free world with the communists had begun. This was in 1917, when they established themselves in Soviet Russia as a visible headquarters from which to reach out their arms of expansion. We did so because we ourselves did not know, and our audiences were not ready to accept, as much about the earlier history of the conspiracy as is the case today. Everything we said in Look at the Score about the communist advance from 1917 until the date of the speech has held up as entirely accurate. We hope and believe that the same will prove to be true about all that we say now. For even then, it was perfectly obvious that when Lenin and Trotsky seized power in Russia in 1917, the conspiracy behind them had not sprung full-grown into existence only a year or two before. This time we go back to the real beginning, because at least an elementary knowledge of the earlier history of the conspiracy is vital to an understanding of what is happening at the present time. So, with that much necessary prelude, let us plunge into our task. 2. In Europe during the 18th century, there had been many esoteric groups with the same basic idea. Each one wanted to become the original nucleus of an expanding secret society which would keep on growing until someday it ruled the world. Most important of these ambitious groups was the Order of the Illuminati, founded by Adam Weishaupt in Bavaria on May 1, 1776. This, incidentally, is why, about 100 years later, the socialist organizations of Europe made May 1 the International Red Holiday, which it has remained to the present time. Their leaders were honoring the birthday of the whole vast conspiratorial movement of which they themselves were a part. The strategy of Weishaupt's order calls for nothing less than the destruction of all religion, of all governments, and of all previously existing human institutions, out of the chaos, anarchy, suffering, and confusion thus to be created, the conspirators were to develop their new order. They did not mind in the least if this plan brought about a hell on earth, so long as Weishaupt and his Illuminati, or their respective successors, could wind up as its Lucifer and his court. We know that this seems hard to believe for those who have not delved into these dark caves of history. Not only are the facts fully documented and indisputable, however, but the most ample proof lies in the visible recurrence from time to time during the last 200 years of this same plan being vigorously prosecuted and its remarkable success over the past two generations, as we shall see in due course. So let us repeat this point for emphasis. Simply remember that the underlying, unchanging objective of the total conspiracy is to destroy all religion, all traditional forms of government, and all the organizational bases of our whole civilization. And then note how many of the sinister activities you see going on all around you are insidiously but effectively serving that purpose. The first great destructive strike of this group at the old order was the French Revolution. Their extremely foul and significant role in bringing about that Holocaust and in making it such a memorable horror have been well known to honest students of history for a long time. But the French Revolution itself proved to be premature from the ambitious point of view of the conspirators. They simply did not yet have the organizational reach and power to extend what they had created into a destructive worldwide upheaval of the same kind. A returning flood of decency, of tradition, of compassion, and of common sense soon caused the terror of the French Revolution to recede. And then, during 20 years of the Napoleonic Wars, there was, in appearance, such a gradual return to normalcy that the Allied monarchs who sent Bonaparte to exile in St. Helena restored a Bourbon to the throne of France. But under the surface, things were not what they seemed, and never would be again, at least for the next 200 years. For Weishaupt's circle of conspirators had come through the revolution more firmly entrenched than before, and with far wider reach. So much so that by 1798, only 22 years after the group had been founded, a very well-traveled and well-informed scholar named John Robison and a devoutly religious cleric, the Abbe Barrowell, both wrote books to warn the world, and especially its governments, of the international power and permeation which the Illuminati already had so cunningly and so secretly achieved. Even in faraway America, their infiltration into positions of influence had become a whispered scandal. In October 1798, George Washington, in a letter to a friend, expressed his concern over the spread in the United States of the diabolical tenets of the Illuminati and the pernicious principles of Jacobinism if, as he said, they are susceptible of separation. And a book exposing some of the ramifications of this conspiracy was published in Charleston, South Carolina in 1802. But the secrecy of the organization was gradually becoming tighter. And although their presence could always be felt behind the scenes, the history of the group itself became more and more shadowy. We do not know for sure whether or not for a while there may have been a splintering of the oligarchy into rival conspiratorial groups, or whether, on the other hand, Weishaupt's order may have remained intact and simply have absorbed into its ranks some rival organizations which did get underway, or whether several parallel groups were eventually consolidated into one. There is no need for guessing at knowledge we do not have, because what is known is ample for our purposes. We do know, for instance, that by 1798, and from then on until 1815, the insiders of this conspiracy were establishing themselves in positions of power within the governments and the institutions on both sides of the battle lines that had been drawn by the ambition of Napoleon. This ambivalence was a cardinal policy of the early Illuminati, since it was their very purpose to destroy all governments, including their own, and replace such outdated remnants with a one-world tyranny run by themselves. All displays of patriotism on their part were but a pretense for the public and the